I reached out to an old flame and my phone was vibrating because we were working on this car. I looked down and it just said France.
I think now they're delivering cars. I don't know.
A man on the street.
You've been naked in just socks.
Hello and welcome back to the Cream Podcast, the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast with myself, Will, Edwin to my right, and Benjamin Rogers.
Hello.
Behind the camera over there. At the beginning of every single podcast, we ask ourselves if cars have ruined our lives this week. Ben.
Hello. Hi. They have ruled.
Okay.
Ooh. I've got, so a personal side of things, my Golf has, I've mentioned it was a little bit rattly on the engine. Mm-hmm. And so I've had the aux belt done, the aux belt tensioner, and also the alternator pulley, which is another thing. And now it is nice.
It's better?
Yeah, although it is a TDI, so it still sort of is a rattly engine as it is.
It's a diesel.
So,
I love that you guys, so you had this weird noise, you had Ollie come in and help on it, you then started it off afterwards, and I saw you both standing there looking at it, and you went, is that just as rattly as it always is, or is that worse or better?
Yeah.
He went, I don't know.
Well, we worked out that now every single thing in the apart from the crank, every single thing in the drive belt system has been replaced. So in theory, hopefully it's all good. But yeah, that's done. And then the red thing sat behind you, if you're watching, is my
it's yours.
Yeah, sure. In quotations, Fiesta ST.
Your temporary steed.
It is. We are going to the Nürburgring this very Thursday coming. And
Ben, you're very scared, are you not?
I'm so nervous. Like, so nervous.
No, what are you panicking about?
Well, you're panicking about prison, obviously. That's
these two have been winding me up all day about getting pulled over.
We're actually giving you serious warnings. Yeah. We don't want to see you in a cell.
Yeah, like, I don't want to see me in a cell.
Because you wouldn't do well.
Like,
wouldn't.
You know, there are just lots of reasons that you could be put in prison in Germany for things you do to your car. Like being orange, not a great start.
It's fine. It's not fully
orange. You stuck out like a sore thumb.
Crazy.
Almost literally.
But like team dynamics, illegal there. Not allowed those there. But yeah, you're on them.
They wind me up all day about getting put in prison in Germany for some reason and dying at the ring and all these different things.
That's not saying you're going to die. You're just going to go to prison.
Okay, perfect. So yeah. So but overall, it is a rule because this thing's pretty good. I drew it back from Luton when we bought it from.
You did.
It's good. It's just a fun car.
It's you will see the video coming soon. Will it be out yet, Benjamin? Here we go, Benjamin. Lock in the brain. It will be out.
Be out. Okay. You would have seen it.
If you haven't seen it, it's very funny. It was interesting looking for a Fiesta ST.
My God.
If you have seen it, you'll know that this is a great car. And it's never been on track.
We were on quite a tight schedule to get it bought. And I was editing, so I wasn't filming. These guys said, we're going to buy a car tomorrow. And I was like, cool, I'll see you guys in 2 days' time. But we'll have the car. I got here and there was no car. And they went, we bought a Fiesta ST. We're looking at one. So, you know, it's hard to get one.
But this one, it was not too bad. And obviously, when we bought this, we did a little car vertical report on it. And it turned out that there has been a little bit of rear damage on this car, which is fine. It was never written off or anything like that, but it had a little assessment at the rear. So there's a few mismatching panels on this car because we think it's been on track. But we will get to that. But obviously, this podcast, again, is sponsored by our friends at Car Vertical. If you are ever buying a used car, a car of any sort, leave no stone unturned and always run a Car Vertical report before you go parting with your hard-earned peas.
And as always, you can use our code CREAM to get 20% off. Every time you use that code, it supports us and the podcast. So shout out to all of the creamers that have been using it. If you want to bundle a load of them together, because you know you're going to be buying lots of cars, or you're looking at Fiesta STs, so you have to run multiple quotes, you can bundle them together, get up to 50% off. So shout out Car Vertical, as always.
It is a lifesaver, especially for Mark 7 Fiestas. It's really bad. Edwin, what is your rule or ruin?
It's a ruin for me. You know what? Ben, you know this, but Ben, you're always in this state. You just reach the end of the tether with cars and you're just like, I just don't want to deal with this.
I call that Wednesday.
I just don't.
Monday, I think you call that.
I got so annoyed. I was working on the BMW. I know it's a topic for many people. They hate the whole, we're going to the Nürburgring thing, but look, it's exciting for us. It's a trip with all of us together. Like, imagine going to a place with all your mates in cars that you've all been building for the last few months. It's very exciting for us. And I've been so excited. I've been getting my M3 ready and prepped.
Every weekend as well. You've been here the last 2 weeks in a row.
Every weekend. I have been here late at night, like in weekdays. I was here last weekend until 2 a.m. on Saturday morning and then about midnight on Sunday night. So, you know, it's nice. And it's just been fighting me. Literally every step of the way, it's been fighting me. And this weekend, I was like, right, one of the final things I need to do, replace my exhaust hardware. E46M3 owners will know your exhaust hardware goes very crispy. And I removed that, and yeah, my exhaust was cracked. There was a crack in my midsection. Ben has that often. So I had to basically weld it up. And then I realized that all the gaskets were missing, even though I bought a gasket repair kit.
Was that just an empty box?
No, it had the metal flanges in it.
Oh, but
it didn't have the gaskets in
perfect.
It. So I've now been struggling because we leave on Thursday. It's Monday. Yeah. So it's tough. And I've got the car went for alignment without an exhaust. I had to drive it there. Not good.
Not good, nice.
I have a video of it. You can't hear me speaking in the background.
Oh,
it's too much.
Sounds like a lawnmower.
It's a big old back box on only 46.
Yeah, back box helps, I'll tell you what, quite a lot. But other than that, we'll get onto it later. But I've had a blast from the past has reappeared.
Oh,
momentarily. We'll speak about it later. We'll get onto anecdotes. But for me, ruin, because it will be a rule. Hopefully the next one is a rule. If it's a ruin, you'll know why. It's because the M3 didn't make it to Germany, because I'm
a tough one.
Blah.
There's a lot of tension around these units.
Everyone.
At the Rory's talking about changing his entire steering rack and doing other bits, something you've already done.
Yep.
And Rory's doing it with less time now.
It's, you know what it is? It's people comforting each other in how much work there is to do.
Yeah.
It's someone walking up and going, yeah, I've got, I still need to book an alignment and get an AC road gas. I need to put two tires on. What about you? And they go, yeah, no, I've
full engine rebuild.
Got to pull the interior out. And they go, all right, no, we're going to be okay. No, we'll be okay.
Knowing someone might be worse off than you, going, that's fine. If they're going to get that done in time, I can do the minor things in time.
Well, speaking of, what is it for you, rule or ruin?
You know what? It will be a rule.
Surely it's a rule.
And it's actually quite a good rule, because it might not be the best rule. Yeah, it is. It's up there, though. It's up there in my top three best rules, because the Murcielago is now on the road.
Cheers.
And I have driven it. There's a couple of little things.
Mm.
There's a couple of little odd little noises it makes. It's very you know, old and rattly and what such. And there's a weird noise coming from a damper. I think it is. It scared me greatly on
the
way back.
Could you describe the noise?
It goes.
It's a seal.
You know, when is it an A320? The sort of
just an Airbus, really.
Yeah, it goes.
The PTU, like Ben.
I think that might actually be.
I don't know why that entered my brain.
So it makes that noise, and I thought, is that the engine? I don't think so. It seems to make it randomly when driving, but then it will especially make it when I hit like a bump or something. So I think it is a damper, and I already know there's a slightly leaky damper, which is fine, because dampers are super easy to come by and super cheap. Yeah, no, they're great. I don't want to know.
And there's two dampers on each on the rear.
There's six dampers total, yeah.
No, that's nice.
Now, I think it's just a front, and I have been told, the guys at SBR said, you can get them rebuilt, you get them resealed, but there's like a 6 to 8 week lead time on that, and you need to take the damper out.
And cars are mobile. Cars.
Yeah, so it's awkward. There might be a solution for that, which I'll look into at some point.
Yummers.
But yeah, so that's annoying, but the car drives. It did an hour drive in from SBR to here, which it was...
That might not.
I would say it was flawless, if I'm honest.
It might not sound like much, but that car hasn't driven in 6 years.
No, the most it drove in the last, basically 6 years was Dunsfold, but even then it was 5 to 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, if that's
easy, there's nothing, it's not sitting in traffic. Whereas, and also that was 37 degrees that day.
That was a hot day.
But it was a very hot day. It was a big old test of the car, and it was fine.
Now, there was something else here in the week as well that I wasn't aware of.
We had something, didn't we?
You've been kind of hiding something.
Oh, the Revuelto.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, picked up a Revuelto, didn't I? I did joke. T-shirt sales went well, so. Yeah,
shout out to the Creamers. But we had 1 month where we didn't have to pay Ben while he was in Barbados, so we used the savings to buy a Revuelto.
We unleashed some funds. Now, I've been speaking to Lamborghini Press for a little while about organising something, and then when the Murcielago happened, I went back to them and said, look, it'd be really cool to do a little comparison video of Murcielago versus Revuelto. So they said, surprisingly, yeah, cool. Do you want a Revuelto for 4 days? So we've had that for the last... Well, it went back literally this morning. I picked it up Thursday morning. That's the most insane automobile I've ever been in
mental.
My life.
Absolutely mental.
I was worried that maybe it would be too modern and Lamborghini would have lost some of its madness. And yeah, it is like it's ridiculously easy to drive and whatever else. But my God, that's the maddest new car you'll ever see.
We talked about it here multiple times on the podcast, where we were like, nah. I don't really care.
I still like some of the looks. I'm still not.
Afterwards, so we went out in it, and in the moment, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is mental. But then Will and I went for a drive. Sorry to ruin the YouTube magic, but we actually did it the wrong way around, so that's in the video. We went out in the Murcielago instantly. One half pull, and I was like, I do not care about that new car. Yeah. It has nothing compared to this.
Yeah. The Revolto is, I can appreciate it, and it's still very Lamborghini, which is what made me happy. It doesn't make me want one more than a Murcielago or whatever else, but I was just happy that Lamborghini are still doing Lamborghini things in the modern day.
I think it is as Lamborghini as they can be in 2026. Like, yeah, you could go more mental. You could take the traction control off and make it rear-wheel drive only, but they can't. This is the best.
And I'll say it. I prefer it now, after driving it, to an Aventador.
There is an
asterisk.
One,
possibly some asterisks. One is that I think the Aventador looks better.
100%.
Overall better looking car, whether that's a standard one, original one, or an SV or whatever.
That would have murdered you very aggressively if you'd said anything else.
No.
But I just think if you go standard for standard, not saying, oh, what about an Aventador with an exhaust? Or what about an SV or an SVJ? Because it's not comparable. I'm saying, like, what is the standard versions of those cars? The Revolto is in a different league.
It is mental. The Aventador, when we drove it, didn't think I'd ever be saying that, that I'd driven an Aventador, but it feels like Supercar Plus, if that makes sense. It feels like a normal supercar, but quite a bit quicker and a little bit more silly.
Yeah.
The Revolto just feels mental. Like it should. Do you know what it feels like, Ben? It feels like, I didn't even drive it, but even from the passenger seat, it feels like driving a normal sports car versus driving like a TVR. Where it goes, none of this isn't helpful. This just wants to kill you or make you feel unsafe, but in a cool way.
It's effectively a hypercar, really. I know it's not in today's money.
That is what Lamborghini does best. It's always that its flagship V12 is, I don't want to say good value for money, but if you want that same package elsewhere, you're going to pay double, triple, whatever, how much more money with a Zonda or a McLaren F1 or a GMA or whatever. And they go, cool. Now this is just what we do. Mid-engine V12, and it's still a proper V12. NAV, the hybrid stuff, but it doesn't actually affect much the way it drives. But we've had that for a while, so the video on that should have
been out now.
Will have come out already. So a little comparison against my car, but my car is now back on the road, which I'm very, very happy about. Some jobs, it's racking up a lovely little list of engine out jobs. That car. So maybe over the winter I might look into that, getting some of those bits done. It needs a clutch probably eventually, and some other bits. But anyway. Then also, Megane is back. I picked the Megane up at the weekend.
You own a Megane?
I own a Megane.
That's crazy.
And it's so back.
Surely not.
It's so back. So back. John,
hold on. Back again.
Back again. Again and again.
It's the Megane's biannual appearance.
It came back.
What week we get.
And it wasn't actually too bad, but it needed a couple of bits. I wanted to get it ready for our little ring trip. So I gave it to John at Cormorant Motorsport. And he's done a load of bits, actually. There's a load of bits. He kept messaging me saying, what about if you did this? I went, yes, that would actually be quite good. So now it's got a slightly fruity exhaust and a different tune, so it sounds great.
Come back and it's a Megane GT3. It's the wide body kit.
My wheel L's have been solved. I bought some Wedsport TC105s. I then had another tyre L because my rear tyres were too big, so I've had to buy two more tyres. So that's lovely.
You know what? Every tyre shop in the UK must know you by name.
Oh, they see me coming. Yeah, so it now has a completely different tune on it. I had no idea what remap it had. So now it has a proper tune from the guys at EFI, I think it is. Different exhaust, different wheels now. The brakes now actually work.
Oh.
It's had a...
Just quit brushing over that one.
Yeah, they actually work. It's had coolant replaced with water, well, with ionized water for the ring, which is very, very handy. So no fines for me. Doesn't mean I won't crash. But no fines if I do. Well, smaller fines.
right, so you've rolled four times and shot the track. Yeah, but I am running deionized water. I'll feel free to go.
New clutch, new timing belt. Loads of bits.
Crazy.
Loads and loads of bits. That car feels so, so good now. I drove it back 3.5 hours from Liverpool way.
How did you get
there? Very happy. I flew.
You flew there?
I flew there.
I love that that's a thing in the UK that we do. That flights can be so cheap that it makes much more sense to just fly there.
I couldn't, there was not a way I could get a train.
It's mental.
To go from where I am to there, there wasn't, it was like a 9-hour trip to get a train. I'd have to get 8 buses.
Yeah.
You know, go as the crow flies by foot across some of it. So I just flew to Manchester, then got a taxi.
How long was the flight?
Hour. Well, actually, sorry, it was about 45 minutes, but it was delayed by 1.5 hours, which was that's really nice. Delicious.
45 minutes to get to Manchester?
Yeah. You can also do it other ways, where you go to Amsterdam first and then to Liverpool.
Oh, lovely.
Or to Manchester, but I declined.
That's quite slow.
Efficient use. Shout out the trains of England.
45 minutes?
Bunch of...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you have a way of speeding it up, get onto British Airways.
I just thought, I thought it would be quicker.
Well, it's not that much further than going into sort of near Europe. But anyway,
well, they got traffic on the M40, innit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fair. Had to queue up.
Which is why they were late as well.
Yeah. M6 toll as well. They got stopped.
You know,
that.
Bad headwind and all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Slowed them down.
Uphill, isn't it?
Yeah. But McGann is back and better than ever. I'm a little bit apprehensive about it going to the ring. I haven't driven it a huge amount before.
Haven't driven it before.
But I think it'll be fine.
Never.
It feels like it drives fresh.
Do you know what? I was just thinking off camera, that it is essentially that it does come back for a week or two and then goes away for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So if anything happens on the trip coming back and it has to go away for work,
it
will complete the prophecy and it will go away for a few months.
Somebody is not going to make it back. Because
between the three of us?
No, between everyone going. Could we have, what, 15, I think 17 cars?
15 to 20 cars.
So because of that, like... That is the chances
statistics.
Of that many cars getting to and from the ring and doing laps.
Look, all the cream is now. All that matters is the cream team. So
we got it.
As long as the three of us get there and back, fine.
We've got to make a little pact on the
convoy. I can't have a passenger.
Because I don't believe that the...
Otherwise I'll rub.
Will's too low.
I don't believe the convoy for everyone will stay together.
Okay, but what you're asking us is... Well, you...
I'm not asking
for,
you
anything. For the purposes of this argument and legality... We will be going the speed limit and you'll be going under the speed limit.
Not true. I'll be on the speed limit.
People who cream together will ring together.
If that... Oh, no.
I just want the gang to hang out.
If that's the case, if you're doing the speed limit, then of course we'll all be driving together because we will be doing the speed limit.
Let's go hang out.
Let's do it.
Well, how would we get away from you if we're not...
If we're legally only allowed to go up to the speed limit...
In theory, you might enter Mexico and
not famously...
Via a portal.
Not... connected to France.
Well, I've seen you do it before, so.
As far as... So, no, that would be good. Your next podcast, you will get some lore updates on
ring creaming.
Or we'll be dead.
Well, no, we'll be doing it from a local German prison where Ben will be for having dropped coolant.
Now, if we go to prison, Ben can just pay our bail.
Shall we move on to anecdotes and watch? So that's two rules
and
a ruin.
That's two rules and a ruins.
I'm sorry, guys. I keep ruining it. I keep absolutely ruining
You're
the
ruining
podcast.
It. Benjamin, let's start
William.
Off... let's start off. You put in here big F prices. What's all that mean then? What's that?
I want to do one of the week first because it makes sense.
Okay. Right. Then let's start with want of the week, Benjamin.
Oh, yeah.
Just before
we
get to big F prices,
I've got a big one of the week.
Oh, here we go.
It's hit me like a ton of feathers or a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
What's heavier?
Whatever Will sleeps in Monterey.
An in joke. I would like a Ferrari.
Oh, here we go. So,
and I'd really, really like a 458.
Okay,
like so wait, Sam, what's going on?
Sorry, yeah. The man who doesn't dream, suddenly dreaming.
Martin Luther King.
No, I saw it. I didn't dream it. I envisioned it.
So hold on.
And I thought
in a dream.
No, I just want
or
one.
In person.
I just had a thought. Really, it was yeah. First time for everything, isn't it? I really want one.
How about this?
Yeah,
take us through it from the start.
Right. So I'm
Ben.
I was sat,
not that far
where
back.
Was I sat on my sofa?
I don't think
again,
we need to know that far.
We don't need to just you
beginning
know.
Of the thought.
Oh, okay.
Not the location of the thought.
Well, okay, I'll send you some context. Oh, okay. I was just had a thought. I want a 458.
Great story, man.
I don't know what
on.
It was. I think I saw a reel.
Talk about the feelings. What is it?
Okay,
is
so
it?
I saw, no, I know what happened. I saw a reel recently.
Okay.
And it's one of those classic, you know, you didn't buy an Tesla in your 20s.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like a 458, but also, I kind of thought,
crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
POV, you didn't buy a Micra 1 litre. You bought a Ferrari 458. Yeah, yeah.
The thinking man's Micra.
The thinking man's daily.
Like some silly thing like that. And then I think, did I see one in person? I don't know what happened.
I can't answer that.
I don't know what's going on. Like this story has this gone
I can't
completely
remember.
Yeah, right.
All I can remember in my mind right now is that I looked at them, but I think something happened to make me suddenly want one because I'd never wanted to just...
You know, it started with such confidence.
You know when we make a video about like the TVL, the Mercy Argument, we're like, I've wanted one of these since I was 3 years old. Yeah. These are the... Meanwhile, Ben, I think I want one of these. I can't remember why or why. No, but really
there's,
what
a,
happened.
There's a little, there's a storyline it all follows. It goes, I want one of these.
Yeah.
This is what I want.
Yeah.
Why? Well, I don't know.
I can't remember how I found it.
I just think I like it.
Do I like that? No, I like something else.
I definitely saw one at some point recently in person. I can't remember when.
Okay, so it made an impression.
Yeah, it must have done. And then the other night, I was just sat in my bed.
Here we are, back to location again.
And I was thinking, I'm gonna look at Ferraris.
Okay.
458s. Because to me, a 458 is, you know, they were, what, 100 grand new, and they've come down now to like 70.
Yeah, more than that, weren't they?
Yeah.
100 and something, yeah. Whatever. And they've come down to like 70.
Jump change.
Not true.
I think they're a bit more than
They're a lot.
I think 105 is like the cheapest one I've seen.
Oh no, they're a lot.
100 grand will get you a ropey, baggy one.
I'm fairly sure I've seen some sell at auctions for around 100 grand.
Give me a number.
I'm talking 175. We're talking big.
Yeah, I think you will.
We're talking 150 baseline now.
I forgot we are dealing with Ben, so he is looking at 1,000 mile, you know,
original. Ben put in like max. No, of course. I'm not dealing with a high mile example. Why would I deal with that? Of course, I want a nice one to go in the collection on my marble floor at home.
That brings me on to big F prices.
Yeah, because no.
The price of them, they're going up.
I
didn't realise how...
One.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, yeah. What about that?
Recently, good. And I liked it a lot. I drove
recently?
In Italy, yeah.
You drove 458 in Italy?
Yeah. Oh, I was in Maranello. They have those half now, through the hills.
I didn't know about this.
Did you see that?
No, what was that?
Creamers, can we all just... some of you can't see that reaction. No,
I missed it.
Ben said, for how long? And then Ben went, I said half an hour, and he went...
No. It wasn't that.
How long have you had behind the wheel of a 458?
I wasn't scoffing at it. I was laughing at it because from when you told me, you said you pitched it as if you'd had it for like a day or two, and then you told me it was half an hour. I was like,
how did I pitch it? I said I rented one for half an hour.
No, you didn't.
So how many days did you have it then?
Yeah. You didn't have the money to do it for 2 days?
No, I thought
pauper.
I thought you said
peasant.
For the start of your story, I thought you meant you rented it for the time you were in Italy.
No, and then found it was half an hour. No, I had a Jeep Renegade.
Okay, perfect.
Very similar.
I wasn't scoffing.
But there's lots of places in and around Maranello where you can rent a Ferrari. And the experience is actually fantastic because they do not care at all. I did one many, many years ago. I saved up all of my pennies and I drove a 430 Scuderia. They don't normally have cars as exciting as like this limited edition lightweight stuff anymore. But they had a 458 there. And 458 is relatively old. Lots of the other cars are like Cali T's and Romas. Ugh. And they had a 296. I thought, that is very fast, but it's a V6. But I thought, you know what? They had a 458 Spider.
Oh, a Spider.
And an option where you could drive it through the hills. I thought, that would be great. It was the baggiest thing I've ever... It was. Every button was sticky and worn, and there was just knocks, and the engine light came on.
Oh, no.
And I said to him, like, just to be sure, because there's lots of wavers and stuff. Yeah. Inside, like, and I said, the engine light's just come on, just so you know. Because I was like, to me, I think that's probably... It didn't drive any different. It's probably a... 02 sensor, and he went, he slides.
Also, he's affiliated with Ferrari.
No, they're not. None of them are affiliated. It's very weird that Ferrari in that area are like, I think actually physically, you can advertise your brand, but they're very funny about you like
showing Ferraris.
Yeah, or like actively going out there and pushing, come and test drive a Ferrari, because they have no relation to Ferrari.
Okay.
But some of them are literally doing it 60 seconds from the factory or from the museum. So they take advantage of it. And there's only probably like five or six of the companies. But anyway, there was a 458. I thought, you know what? Sod it. It's an older car, but I wanted, that's the one I would drive out of all of them. And my God, what an engine. That was the only thing left in that car, because all the suspension was pretty shot. But God,
it was good.
It was fantastic. It didn't quite push me to think I need to have one of those. I could take if I had one for a day with driving through some nice driving roads, that would probably be enough for me.
Famously, you're a coupe man.
Mm.
But
458 Spider, I enjoy a lot.
Because before, when we were talking about it, you'd say you said you'd still have a coupe over a Spider. But would you have...
This caught me off guard, because when I saw the 458, it had the roof up and I went, it's a coupe. Oh, well.
And I got to the rear.
It is a Spider. Because that's what I like, is it doesn't change a huge amount.
Yeah.
When the roof's down, the whole silhouette doesn't change a huge amount because it's still got the buttresses. So yeah, the engine and the gearbox and just everything on that car. Oh,
I have one from last month that sold on Collecting Cars for £115,000. It was a high mileage. It's a Spider as well. High mileage, 40,000 mile car.
Okay. So, do you know what? You're just following a horsepower hunter's trajectory. You went,
I like Aventador. I like 458s.
Ben's going with, he's like, well, if he won't let me drive the Aventador on the road, perhaps he'll let me in the 458.
How about this then, Ben? Tom, kindly, from Horsepower Hunters, says, hello, Benjamin. That's how he speaks, of course. You can drive either the Aventador or the 458.
Aventador.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no hesitation.
Didn't say it was my dream car, so I quite like one.
Seeing as you gave us so little information about how much you like
That's completely unfair.
Just trying to work out.
I really like it. I love how it looks. But interestingly...
I don't like how it looks.
No, I love how it looks. I think it's very simple, but effective. But I looked at 458s and then prices, and I was looking at the car in the photos, and then I looked at 488s because I think a 488 looks wise is underappreciated because it's like a almost facelifted 458 look to it. Then I looked at F8s, so we're just going generation by generation up.
Yes,
I looked at F8s for a while because
I love them.
Really get me tingling and also fizzing.
I really like them.
And then I went back to look at 458s.
And we started all over again.
And this went on for some time.
After I'd done that, I didn't like it as much.
The 458?
It suddenly looked far too simple.
I think it will be appreciated in years to come because it's simpler, because of the... You're laughing. Why are you laughing?
I was going to tell you about the next part of the story.
Oh, right. Sorry. Is that like the triple exhaust thing? It's different, but I think...
Yeah.
That will probably get to an age where everyone goes, they're not doing stuff like that anymore.
God,
it's just so simple and lovely.
But the 458 timeless. Not simple.
Clean.
But the 458 never stood out to me as I think a 430 looks cooler to me. But like the 458 Speciale, although not a huge amount is different, but there's enough differences with that massive diffuser and a different bumper and whatever else where it looks so much better than a normal one.
I'm going to ruin the 458 for you quickly.
Okay.
I'm just going to pull up on the screen for the audio listeners a 458. This is that one that sold. Now, the headlights, the DRLs.
Huh.
How many of those are there?
8.
Why is that?
V8.
Mm.
Fine.
Any thoughts on that?
I think it's an accident.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Don't believe it.
No, just another example for those of you that maybe haven't listened to earlier podcasts.
That's Ferrari.
Ben claimed that the Audi RS6 that deliberately has 10 LED headlights in the headlight is ridiculous and an afterthought and not a piece of design language.
Now,
meanwhile, the 458 with 8.
Can I finish my story?
Please carry on.
So I looked at that and I was thinking, I don't like this as much anymore. And then this was late in the evening. So I went to clean my teeth for bed.
Okay.
Was gone for a bit. Came back just to get myself nice and settled down in bed. I thought I'll have another little look at 458s.
And a hot milk, of course.
Yeah.
I already had.
Were you carrying the saucer with the candle on it?
Yeah, I was about to go honk shoot.
Striped pyjamas and all such.
I led back in my bed and I watched videos on it. I looked at more photos of it. And you know what? I came back round. I love it again.
So that was quite an experience.
Yeah. It was interesting that I went, the more I looked at the more modern Ferraris, not like the current generation, but like up the F8. And then suddenly looked at that one. I didn't like it as much.
Did you say up the F8? Way. Up the F8.
Get the crest in.
Do you know what? I've had a similar experience because I like the 458 a lot. But then whenever I think about it, I like the F8 the most.
Mm.
The quad lights is it for me. I've always, when the 458 came out, I always thought it was really awkward looking because it only had two. And because it had gone from four small ones to two really big ones, it just looked really odd.
So now you see, here's what I'll say. I'd prefer the F8 if it had two lights.
No, you wouldn't. That was horrible idea.
Because for me, but hang on. Your opinion
is right.
Is rot. No, it comes from probably your nostalgia to old Ferraris, right?
No, just because that is correct for Ferrari.
That's just what I said. But
not really nostalgia.
It was, but reworded.
Yeah. But for me, the F8 is like the modern version of the 458 because that's when I became conscious. So because of that, I would like a more modern 458 look. But please, listen.
Would you care about engine?
That's the thing I want the 458 engine because it's, what is it, 9,000?
Yeah, something like that.
It's something ridiculous. And even the 488 goes down to like way below that.
Yeah, but it's a turbo engine. So it is apparently an excellent engine. I have absolutely no doubt. Because it's very efficient and it's very fast and it still revs quite high and it's got more torque and it is overall better, but it isn't a ridiculously high revving NA V8.
Yeah, that's cool. So
is that Pininfarina is 458? I don't know, 488.
Yeah, I don't know
when they stopped on. I know F12 was basically the last big V12 Pininfarina, but
I think it is Pininfarina.
Yeah, I say bring them back, guys.
You say give me money, please.
So
you say, oh, give me.
Well, I was sad because I can't own one.
Well, one day.
Why is that?
The price is going up.
Hey, yeah, you never know, Ben. And things, they peak and they trough and they move, and it is fluid.
Now, speaking of, I reached out to an old flame.
Okay.
Jezza's back in the picture.
Oh, is he?
Now, unfortunately, it's sad news. There've been some Ferrari 550s that have come up, and I've been looking at auctions and things and potential finance to try and look at just trying to get into a 550 before I think the prices go too mental. And I thought, you know what? One last try. Let's throw a Hail Mary. Let's see if we can get a response from Jezza. So I sent him an email today and said, Big J, what's happening, man? What happened to us? We used to be great. And one last chance. Look, let me know what's happening because I haven't heard from you in months. Peace out, dog. And not 2 minutes later, I walked into the unit and my phone was vibrating because we were working on this car. And I looked down and it said, is it +33? It's France. And it just said France.
France is calling.
The Prime Minister of France and it is said, calling.
Is Macron.
Is Ben driving over in that Fiesta ST? Because we will arrest him if he does do that.
Why?
And I knew it. And I immediately knew it. So I literally picked up the phone and went, Jeremy. And he went, oh, how do you know it was me? I said, I have your number saved. I spoke to him about it. Essentially, he is still fighting with insurance to pay him out for the car. They value it lower than what they want to pay him. He's pushing back on that. He's pushed it back for so long, it's been multiple years now, but they're now going to court.
Great.
He said, to be fair, to me, well, to him, that it's going to take a while. If it goes to court, it's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll be honest, if you find a car, you find a car. But I'll let you know, I don't have anyone else interested in this car and I will be able to buy it back as salvage. So if I do, I will let you know if that day comes and you're in the market for it. It might happen. Because I would still like to build a crashed one where I wouldn't have to care as much.
Yeah.
And I could be much more me about it. So, you know what, Jezza? We may one day hear from Jezza. It might happen.
Episode 280.
200, you're calling it out.
280?
That's a long time. I'm going to say...
Speaking of...
It will be before episode 200.
I'm going to say it's before
Jezza by 230. We'll get that on a shirt somewhere.
Roads to Jezza.
Right. But...
Love that book.
In one of the last episodes, we jokingly said, pull up episode 47 at 37 minutes. What do we do? What are we doing, Creamers?
What were we doing?
A kind Creamer has gone into the comments. Lewis, I won't say your last name to not dox you, but Lewis said, episode 47 at 37 minutes refers to asking people to make comments. It's a full circle moment.
What? Wow.
That's mad.
That feels like a portal into a different world.
Well, it's also proof that we plan all of these.
Exactly.
The amount of dross we speak.
So Ben, if you could just call out one other moment from another podcast, and we'll just get we'll get double check that it's not.
What was that one? Sorry, episode 47.
That was 47 at 37 minutes.
I'm going to take it way back. I'm going to go to...
You're going to throw it back?
I'm going to throw it right back to episode 21.
Sure, episode 21. And what sort of time code was
22
that?
22 and a half minutes.
Around about the 22 and a half minute mark.
Yeah.
What are we discussing?
We'll discuss it. Someone please comment and let us know.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
We can check quite easily.
But that's boring.
But exactly. Yeah.
We can also talk about, we've been interacting with the Creamers. I think this might be my favorite interaction with the Creamers yet. Asking about what car we went home, what you went home from the hospital in as a baby. Fantastic. All around from the Creamers.
I'm amazing.
People interacting with each other. People saying, I went and spoke to my parents about this. I'd never asked them this. It was good. Great. Some really good ones. So to recap, I was in 850R, you were a Volvo 340.
340.
Lots of people in Volvos.
Yeah,
Volvo. I'll be honest. Big answer.
The thinking man's baby car.
I think it is just the baby car.
We had some there was one that I think just came in today, actually. I said a Sapphire Cosworth.
Well, I've got a list of some of my favorites that I've taken. Kinglewis, it's King Lewis.
Oh, okay, right.
Said, I was born in 2000. My dad drove me home in a Fiesta. No, in a Ford Sierra Cosworth. And then the week after, he slammed it into the side of a police car and lost his license. The car was written off. I wish this was a joke.
Nice.
That was a good one. Good.
Hopefully you weren't in the car.
No, yeah, hopefully. Well, still alive to tell the tale.
Yeah.
When I was born, I was taken home in my granddad's Lotus Carlton that he still owns today.
Wow.
That
is cool. Now, he still owns it now.
And now, Mr. Sykes, you win. I'll be honest. I think that's cream of the crop is a Lotus Carlton. Quick bank raid on the way home. You know, get that done. I was brought home in a Lancia Fulvia HF. There wasn't room in the back seat, so I was put on the parcel shelf in a bassinet. The 80s were a crazy time.
To be fair, I took my granddad out in the Revuelto at the weekend. And he looked in the back and went, oh, there's plenty of room for a baby here. And I was like, well, not really. That's not really safe. But he went, oh, that's what I used to do. So he had a TVR and there was a little parcel shelf in the back. He's like, just put baby there.
Crazy.
It's not very safe, but fine. But yeah.
Also, your lineage depended on that. Like yeah. Anything went wrong, you're gone. You're not here. In 1993, my dad brought me home in a tungsten metallic Renault 5 GT Turbo.
Whoa.
My dad says to this day that if it was not as fast as it was, I would have been born in the back of it at 5 a.m. on the way to hospital. It's quite good. And then there are a few more. There was, not me, but my eldest daughter, now 6, was brought home in a Milano Red DC5 Integra Type R.
Wow.
That's cool. Huh. Straight up cool.
And was it modified?
You'll have to ask Tom, who made that comment.
Please comment.
On behalf of my daughter, she was brought home in a blue 1999 Mondeo ST200 Estate.
Oh, yeah.
While I was brought home in a 1994 Mondeo 2-litre GLX Estate load on coils with a full RS body kit back in 1998.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I like this. Okay, creamers are on top for this.
And pulling up with proof, like we said. There are photos of these cars. There's all sorts.
Now, this one, this is from Oliver Dance. I want proof of this. Audi 80 S2 Avant.
Ooh.
That's all it says. It just says Audi 80 S2 Avant for me.
S2 Avant? Why am I not trying... So that's the RS2 shape.
But just a little
bit. But narrow and...
Yeah. And then the last two, my favourite one. So this one's not particularly that interesting, but just perfect English. Driven home in a cut and shut Sierra Estate that would get stolen weekly and brought back with a full tank of fuel, so it was never reported stolen. Right up until the police banged on the door to ask if my mum had been doing robberies in it. I like that. That's England. And then in a similar vein to end... Kai Jolly, you have a run-up for me as the second best. As a new human, I was brought home in an S1 Ford Escort RS Turbo. Ooh. My son, just last year, was brought home in a white Sapphire Cosworth with 420 wheel horsepower.
No, that's good.
Crazy.
Big, you know what? Shout out the creamers.
Yeah, you're also just pulling up the better ones than any of us.
Yeah, so, I love it.
Again, if you haven't seen that section, have a think. Go speak to your parents. Go have a look. Go find some photos. See what you were taking home in. Even some cool stories of cars you were in.
Yeah. Younger.
It's just cool to see that stuff. So, and we've seen some really cool photos.
The photos are great. Yeah. The proper period photos. I'm sure there's some sort of GDPR violation with us having lots of photos of you as children. But, you know, we'll keep those safe.
Ben, back to Ferraris, because you are the richest man here, after all. You put in here something about the new Testarossa sound.
Yes, there
849?
Yes, I'm going to play you some sounds.
Okay, go on then.
I'm going to put money on the fact that it's an 849 Testarossa.
Yeah, I think
I have
an inkling.
So the new 849 Testarossa has been, I think now they're delivering cars, I don't know.
a man on the street. He knows exactly what he's talking about.
Basically, it's like any modern Ferrari, like any modern supercar. It's hybrid, I think. It's... Oh, at least it's turbo. It's very muted, the noise.
Okay.
So,
you've heard it in person, right, to confirm that?
No. So what am I doing?
But you're going to play us this possibly hybrid, possibly V8, possibly turbo.
So I'm going to play you this company.
Ferrari.
I'm making this car, the 849 Testarossa, they
possibly
call it.
Hybrid.
Brill Steel Motorsport Exhaust.
Okay.
They've developed an exhaust for it, and they can make it sound a bit fruity.
Oh, already?
I thought, you know what? Quite good. First of all, it plays the OEM sound,
okay,
which is depressing to hear.
Muted.
Yes.
Let's get a VAR. So you're going to tell us which one's standard and which one's aftermarket.
You can probably tell.
F8 Tributo.
Sorry.
Now,
it's coming a bit M140.
My issue with that is that it sounds like a McLaren.
Yeah.
And
McLarens are kind of okay, not okay having that noise, but they're not known for being a great sounding car.
I think McLarens get away with it because their whole thing is, they're a bit German, their thing is efficiency.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm allowed to sound a bit because I'm just good at what I'm doing.
Turbo noise.
But the whole thing with Ferrari is you're supposed to be, supposed to be a bit flamboyant and a bit mental, but that's just rev.
It's like the Temeraria.
Yeah.
There was a Temeraria recently with the purple, like the Viola SE30 purple colour. And that sounded good, but because it had that sort of Koenigsegg vibe, but it's still not...
I don't think the Temeraria can sound good. I haven't heard one that I like. I thought that sounded better than the Temeraria.
I'd love to hear a Temeraria in person. and I'm sure we will at this year's. There's like a week where there's cars around. We'll hopefully probably see one there.
Well, a couple of us will.
Yeah, we'll get on. We'll get onto that.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that. What we got next?
We have big news from Richard Porter.
Oh yes,
have we?
Yeah, we. I will read the email.
They looked at me baffled.
We have. Oh, well, he informed you?
He informed me.
Oh, I thought it was an organic find.
No.
Richard Porter, we speak to via email and respond to via the podcast.
Yes, that is. There are much more efficient ways to talk. But this says, I hope you're ready. This is an email from Richard Porter. I hope you're ready to play Wembley. Tractors at Night is now officially on Spotify, Apple Music, and other streaming platforms. Chart domination, here we come. Incredible. And then with a link to the Spotify.
If we do get Wembley, which is possible, of course. Which is the only way Ben gets out of bed.
Yeah.
If there's that many people
I'll do
there.
Tottenham.
Yeah. I mean,
that would I'm thinking, like, what's Edwin and I's position in this? Because the vocals are mainly you.
We're kind of weak. We kind of ad-lib. Like
ad-lib every now and then.
But it's your backup.
Drums. Or
dancing, I guess we could do.
You could dance. I'd love
interpretive dance.
Yeah. So Richard Porter, can you just let out the stage for me?
Can we skank to it while you...
is Richard Porter... mixing live.
Yeah.
So he's on like a DJ.
He's on the synth.
He's on like a booth.
Yeah.
And do we have like an entourage of people behind going, whoa.
That's us.
No, because I think you should be in front.
I think that's entirely up to Richard.
Yeah,
I think that's Richard. For him to decide. He is kind of the forefather of Tractors at Night, let's be honest.
Producer.
We're just featuring on it.
Now,
so it's for him to choose, but we're here to support Richard in whichever way we can help at Wembley.
You know, in the 2000s and the 90s, there wasn't a single music artist that could go on stage without 27 backup dancers.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I think you should be.
I would like each backup dancer to look vaguely like us.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So we get some like Claire Balding-esque Gordon Ramsay son type.
Little stray there.
Yeah, no, just some sort of fat, lanky sort of Dutch person.
Couple of gorillas.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
Wow.
Like the band. They're playing us in.
Gorillas. I think they're animated, aren't they?
What? Fine.
Yeah, the gorillas are. They're not real, are they?
Well, we can get the same stuff they put the hologram of Tupac on. We get them out.
RIP.
So I think I'm excited for this. Now, you said, I think we've all said, I listened to it a few times on Spotify.
Oh, same. Every time.
And I was moving the 8 Series around, and exclusively when I drive the 8 Series, I have it 80s, 80s playlists on. And I started, now Richard Porter surely must be impressed to hear this, that I started a radio off of a Kavinsky song. And I was listening to it in the 8 Series, and the next song came on, and I went, oh, I know this. Why do I know this tune? And then I have Ben go, Tractors at
Wait,
Night.
Was it? Tick of the Clock?
No, Tick of the Clock was in.
Because if it's Tick of the Clock, it's kind of similar to Tracks at Night.
So are you implying that Richard Porter is copyright intellectual?
No, similar genres.
Okay. But I'm incredibly impressed to say that my Spotify has already gone, you like 80s synth? Have a bit of Richard Porter in there. Have a bit of Tractors at Night.
I had my Spotify DJ play it for me.
Yeah? And what did
he
say? He
went, next up for you, Ben, I got a couple of ones you've been listening to recently. And then he just plays Tractors.
Tractors at Night.
I played Tractors at Night, and then it followed it up with a song called Sunglasses at Night.
Oh, okay. You're on that nighttime playlist.
It went, as my Spotify said, well, just something else at night, isn't it? But yeah, I've listened to it in the Revuelto, which was fantastic.
Wonderful. You can confidently say you are the only human on earth that has ever listened to Tractors at Night in a Lamborghini.
And in the most, like, all in one day, it got blasted two Lamborghinis. Both of them in one day.
I have a photo because when we did the reaction to that video, and I was in the car with Will, I looked over, it's like Speedo. It just said in the very bottom, it's all the pressures, the speed, everything, bottom left, it's just Tractors at Night. It doesn't even say now playing, it just says Tractors at Night.
But the problem is it is a banger.
Yeah, no, it is quite catchy. If you haven't heard, please search up. I think it's ADO 88 on Spotify.
We should.
Which is, from memory, an old Metro concept car. Which would make sense. It's very esoteric for Richard Porter.
Surely a merch collab. Ooh. Tracks at Night.
See, look, he just sees pound signs.
He just sees. You're Joe Jackson.
We can donate the proceeds.
Ben's going to have us afterwards going, right, we've got to practice. That's it. Rehearse those moves. Moonwalk, Edwin.
We can donate it to charity.
Okay.
All the proceeds.
Really?
Right. Is that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we can do.
Meanwhile, the merch logo is sat 10 feet from the
corner. Hey, it's not going to pay for itself. Richard Porter, you guys are getting paid.
But it's on Spotify, so make sure I don't know what power we have, or we know that the creamers are all powerful. We know that. But if we can, well, whatever we can do to boost those numbers.
A quick side note. I wanted to shout out to the Creamers for the response on the collecting cars thing.
Mm.
Now, we said we're doing a little side hustle, a little moonlighting on the collecting cars channel. And we said some Creamers in the comments would be great to see. Boy, did you deliver.
Oh, they shut up.
Now, you know what? Some of it, all of it, great. Some of it quite funny. There were some announcements for other presenters. You decided to infiltrate that too. please, let's keep it respectful. There was a couple. I think one of them was, "I'm not what? Who's this? I'm not watching unless it's Ben the Event Rogers."
Also, me mum, me absolutely nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah,
There was a rumor that one is potentially Ben Collins, and someone said, "I don't want that. I want Ben the Event Rogers."
Nice. Okay.
I thought, you know, it's totally fair, but let's keep it.
So a few outliers of people just messing around, but that's fine. Mega shout out to those of you that did turn up and those of you that watched the video. We've only got a few as like a pilot episode, but hopefully it will carry on because we just like walking around looking at cars, man.
And the next one, actually, we drive some cars as well. We drive some very, very cool stuff. And then we have one other collection lined up that I'm hoping we're going to do that.
Also that no one has ever seen ever.
No one's ever filmed. It's very new to the sort of world, if you like, of like, you know, putting the collection
out
there.
Yes, the one. Baby has bought in a load of cars.
Ah, fair.
Yeah.
It's what you should be doing.
But of course, there are Murcielagos in that collection.
Multiple.
Wow. So, yeah. You should drive your Murcielago too.
Shouldn't I? Now it's road legal.
Bit of a flex.
We should do a video of our collection.
We did.
Last Friday. We did that last Friday. It's quite different.
Oh, loads of people were asking in that comment section, what happened to the Beat? The Beat is there. We just didn't talk about it because it's away in storage in a different location. It's not at that location.
Why did you drive the Beat?
Ben, how many cars have I got?
Too many.
Right. Yeah, but the Beat.
Can't drive them all. You could come to work in the Beat.
What?
It's summer.
Okay. I'm driving other cars. I'm driving the 8 Series. I'm driving the E46.
E46?
Right. But also, yeah, right now.
Drive it to Germany.
The beat
it doesn't have an MOT now and it needs a bit of work to get through on, so it's to the side.
But everyone loves it.
I love it too.
We could tuck it over there, like on the shelf.
On the shelf.
Up there. On the,
we just put it behind the toilet door.
It could live in the toilet.
It could live in the toilet.
The secret toilet.
It's
no
long
one's
ways.
Opened. Yeah.
So don't worry, you will see the Beat come back at some point. People were asking if it had gone. It's gone nowhere.
Should we do a second shout out?
Sure.
Shout out to the Cream Instagram.
Ooh,
which is now, I think, now one thing that the Creamers do not know is that...
Could you create a shorthand for the Cream Instagram that's just a bit clunky?
Cream Instagram.
Sure.
Or hold on.
Get those cogs working.
Oh no, what's it called when you have, is it a creamery?
Yeah.
Where they make cream?
Look, we've said if we ever, Will and I were talking the other day, if Cream ever gets to a point where we can rent our own unit or buy a location, I looked into the legalities of if you can just change the name of... your house. If your house is called
That's a great point.
Bingletown.
It's not.
Can you change it to Cacklebeans? Is that allowed?
Thanks for doxing all of us.
Are you allowed to do that? So I looked at it. And I think you basically can. So I want to change where, if we were ever to get somewhere, it's got to be the creamery.
I mean,
has to
but
be.
We won't make cream.
We
will make cream, but not cream.
Like a permanent set.
Not cream as your nan great. Might know it.
No, none of that. So, but sorry, carry on.
The Cream Instagram now exists, and one thing that Creamers do not know is that there are clips you see.
Oh, you
and
see.
And who's making the clips? It's not me. Is it you, Evan?
It's not me.
Where
it's not
it
me. And if it's not any of us, then who's editing them?
It's not Deck either who edits the
podcast.
It's
not Deck. And if it's not Deck, then who's editing
it's
them?
It's CU Laser.
It is.
Has been shout out.
Recruited by the Cream Lords.
Shout out to our boy, CU Laser.
He is a machine.
Yeah.
He sends me reels, and I go, this is fantastic. Let's get that. So if you'd like to follow our Instagram, that is @carsruleeverything.
Yeah, we couldn't get a cream related Instagram.
It's very long.
Yeah,
and @cream is taken, and dots in Instagram is annoying. No. But @carsruleeverything, go on there, do your stuff, comment things. There is someone commenting saying, Mr. President, there has been a 13th reel on Cars Rule Instagram. That's quite good. That's been going on for some time.
I unfortunately wish to let you know that there are something like 50 scheduled reels. Mm. So you will be commenting that for a while.
Yeah. Maybe they're scheduling the comments somehow.
Oh, okay.
They have some sort of bot that goes, every time that posts, post that.
Quite smart.
But you're a dedicated bunch. We'll give you that.
Shout out to the gang.
Dedicated. I think some of you are sort of 24/7 creamers.
Mm.
Where you're going,
not healthy.
I don't
healthy.
Need a job. I'll just cream. Now, this podcast is also sponsored by our friends over at Motul. Now, if you've watched the TDC channel, you will have seen that we use Motul fluids in absolutely everything from our RS6 and even to the car behind us, the Fiesta ST. Benjamin, you've been putting in some Motul fluids in here, have you not?
We poured some fresh Motul in just about an hour ago.
And how does she run?
Well, because of me, not very well, but the Motul was nice. Exactly. I messed up how to put coil packs in, but after that, it purred.
But the best thing is you can't mess up with the Motul oil that you put in your car because they have an oil finder that lets you put your reg in or your car in and it tells you exactly what fluids you need for that car. What engine oil, what diff oil, what gearbox oil, the whole thing. It's super handy and very, very helpful for us in day-to-day life.
And because obviously this car is being built so that Ben can drive it at the ring, we're also going to run some Motul brake fluid. They do RBF 660, RBF 700, and a bunch of others, depending on what sort of use you're going to get out of your car. We'll probably put 660 in this because it means that the pedal will stay nice and firm for a whole lap around the ring, rather than the pedal going spongy and getting brake fade and whatever else. So Motul, if it's a fluid and it goes in your car, check out Motul. And also, you can get a discount if you use our code TDC. Gets you 15% off at clubmotul.co.uk.
Shout out, Motul.
Next up, we have, Ben, you put in here, Mercedes truck is the balls.
I think, so we were driving to Luton to buy this Fiesta ST. And we were on the motorway.
Never something you want to hear.
No, yeah, but makes good content, doesn't it? And we saw one of those Mercedes trucks.
I don't know what they're called.
I know what they're called. I looked it up before the podcast.
I think it's a Mercedes lorry.
I looked that up. It's called a, Edwin, prepare your fingers
Vito
to type.
Vito Plus.
A Mercedes.
I've just got it up.
Actros L.
Hey! Yeah. That's a crap name.
And they named it after you, didn't they?
I think Actros has always been one of their names.
It has. I don't know if it's only electric, but this, all lorries look the same.
Agree. That, well.
And now I know lorry drivers and people who are into lorries will say that's not true, but to me, they look the same. But the Mercedes Actros, that looks the balls.
You know what? I really do agree. I think they're very cool. I'll put a photo up on here.
Look
but
at
they,
that.
They have this like crazy futuristic looking face.
That.
And what? Here we go. Wilson, you don't like
I've
that?
I just noticed something.
What's that? Say something.
The mustache?
Mustache.
It does have, an interesting German mustache.
Oh, yeah.
But as a futuristic looking thing, when I see it, because you see lorries and trucks on the motorway.
You do.
Maybe we found a sequel to Tractors at Night.
Lorries at Night.
Lorries on the motorway.
lorries, they are big.
You see lorries on the motorway that have a 26 plate, and yet they look like they're from 2003 or from 1991. They look like a DAF truck from the old times. That's what I thought 2020 looked like in the year 2000.
Jet powered.
That's crazy cool.
The Mercedes.
It looks quite sad, I think.
It does look quite
sad. It has a handlebar moustache.
He's like an old Texan cowboy.
Yeah, but it also looks incredibly modern. Yeah, I agree. I quite like a lorry. I think our lorries are better than those stupid American lorries.
Agreed, totally agreed.
They're just unnecessary.
What's it called?
Big lorry.
Cab over?
Ours are a cab over, I think.
Over cab? What's it called?
No, I think ours are cab over.
Cabriolet?
No, I'd love to see one.
Long nose.
No, that's not it. I might be American.
What?
What's a European, like a Scania?
Hold on, that's called a cab over.
Where you're sat on top of the engine.
You sit on the engine.
Thing.
Yeah.
Well, it makes way more sense.
I've just put in truck names. Steve. I've got...
George.
Oh,
Eddie Stover.
I've just put in truck names. I've got recycling truck, fire truck, delivery truck.
Types of lorries.
Like, what's a long, like a big American lorry?
Patrol boat.
That's not a lorry.
It's a patrol boat. Then it's just got a photo of a concrete mixer. No, I think that's right.
Edwin, please, back in the room.
Sorry. What's it called?
Lorry with long nose.
Lorry with nose. We've got cab over truck, or a flat nose, or a forward control truck. Have a cab sitting directly above the front axle.
There will be lorry drivers listening to this as they are lorry driving right now.
Going.
Tearing their hair out. While they're getting a fantastic tan conventional, on their right arm.
Conventional or long nose trucks have a traditional hood in front of the driver.
I actually think I saw a reel recently of like a tour of one of them. And listen, America, I don't understand. I do know why. It's because in Europe we have a lot of tighter roads and stuff, so it's more maneuverable because you have a long nose.
Yeah.
You sit over.
It's also for servicing, so that the engine is easily accessible at the front as opposed to having to lift the whole cab.
But also in the US, I know they do a lot of basically just straight roads, so you can have that. It's a bit like getting in like a SRST that we have versus like a big long truck.
Okay.
Just going straight. But I saw a walk around of one of the, that's like a brand new American truck.
Mm.
It's built in like the 80s.
Are they built, do they have like a bigger
Peterbilt
engine?
They have an engine.
And they, do they have a bigger engine? The sort of, I'm assuming they do because it's American.
Yeah, big boy.
But in terms of like for going further is what I mean.
I don't know the answer to that. Good. I usually have every answer.
Good. I just think they're unnecessary. Reference. I'm sure they're not unnecessary and Americans will tell me that wrong, but I prefer our lorries. Our lorries look like they're doing business.
But they look like they're...
Our lorries are on job.
And the guy said in the video, he was like, yeah, this one's got all analog dials. But why do you want that?
Well, I want it to be.
Oh, well, you want it's like a screen, like a modern thing.
Okay.
Because it's all for work. It's all functional for work. It's not...
I've always wanted to drive a lorry, but I've always wanted to know what the ins and outs of it are. But what do people prefer? Do people want a manual lorry? Do you want that? Do you want a lovely dual cut clutch lorry?
As far as I'm aware...
SMG.
I think in the US they want manual lorries because it's like shameful to not have that.
I've just found a comparison between European and American trucks with a little breakdown. Engines and Power.
Okay.
Fantastic album name for our sequel.
Trucks at Night.
Yeah. European trucks, 11 to 13 litre engines, optimised for fuel efficiency and emissions compliance. American trucks, 12 to 15 litres.
Jeez.
Sometimes over 16. Interesting, because that wasn't what you put on the first bit. Prioritizing torque for long runs. And then you just said gearboxes. European tends to be automated manuals, standard.
It says SMG.
American trucks
like the Lupo.
Tend to be older fleets, still run 18-speed manuals, modern fleets shifting to automatic.
18? They have the Fast and Furious gearbox.
Yeah, that with a nice short ratio diff, and you're just... bah, 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 bah. Just the whole way down.
Oh, nightmare.
Yeah,
you're never not changing gear.
An American truck, if you've ever seen anyone drive it, is mental. It's that, to be fair, that's a physical job doing
that.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not saying that the European ones aren't, but like that is a, you're changing gear.
Lorry drivers.
No, I'm just saying that
is... offended a lot of people.
We've already offended.
Prepare your DMs.
What I'm saying is that it's actually, to me, I think it's mental. Why would you, why do you want to change gear so much? It's every, like, try and get a 60, it's just, changing gear up to whatever gear it is. But yeah,
I'd love to drive a lorry. I've been in a cab of a lorry once.
Have you?
It was great fun on a big old boy as well. I used to work at M&S, and I went up a spirally thingy in it in the passenger seat, and I was
the bouncy seat
with the air controlled seat.
Yeah, it was truly lovely.
Used to this is incredibly random. I once hitched a lift in a truck 800 miles from Cape Town to where I used to live in the desert, and I got sleep in the back of it. It's just great
in the little house bed.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's
just
cool.
A straight up bed. Well, he had the truck driver was the bottom bed. I was the top on the top.
The bottom bed. Two beds.
There was two. There was a top.
What do they need that for?
For sleeping in. They have hours.
No, but I mean, why do they need two?
In case a young man gets in it.
Yeah, exactly. just a young boy.
How old were you?
I was 14. Okay. 15. Yeah, look, it feels a bit sketchy.
It does without,
it feels like a news article.
Yeah, but yeah, don't worry. It was all above board.
Okay.
But yeah, cool inside. And that was a basic one. That was like a super basic one. Mm. American ones that have like miniature house inside.
What
cool.
Shape was it? Was it a cab over or was it a long nose?
It was a Volvo. I want to say it was a long nose.
Does that exist?
What?
A long nose Volvo?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of Volvo trucks are squares.
That's because we live in England where they're all squares.
I want to know how much faster a lorry is when you eject your load.
Okay. I would imagine quite.
No, because there are obviously you have it when the lorry's empty, right? As in you have your trailer on.
Yeah, which but nothing's in the back. Filled,
but nothing's in the back.
Right.
That must be relatively quick, but you've still got a trailer. But when you see them and they're just, it's just cab or whatever you call it. It's just the lorry.
That's
in its purest form, in its speciale superleggera form. Surely that is an unbelievably noticeable. There's not many other times in a car it's not like having a boot full of shopping. I don't know. Maybe the equivalent is that. I don't know. But surely when they have tons of crud and crap and clothes and milk and beans or whatever it is they're transporting in their lorry, once that is gone, they're born to roam free.
Milk and beans, that's all they carry.
If you're a lorry driver, tell me how much faster. Do a 100 to 200 run on a draggy box.
Also, how much powers do you have?
Talk is mental.
And also, one more thing, I don't like it when I see a cab over lorry with no back on it. It feels like when you see either a dog that usually wears a collar with no collar.
Okay, super specific, but sure.
It feels weird. And also, it's.
I think it looks like it'll fall over.
You ever been naked in just socks?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that same feeling?
Or Winnie the Poohing it when you've yeah. only got just the top on, no bottom.
It's like seeing in a hospital gown when you can just see an ass in the back. Yeah. And,
that's actually exactly what it is. Because
like, usually you don't look at me.
Usually they have something covering that.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. I get really uncomfortable. But also, why is it not falling over?
Yeah, exactly. It should tip over, shouldn't it?
No,
yeah.
I was with someone that said that the other day. But because it's a cab over, all of the weight is along the bottom in like a rectangle. Yeah. So the cab is he's just laying around on top. There's not much weight in that. So their center of gravity must actually be very low.
You must be able to really feel the turning.
Just really
right turning. Right around the hip region where you want it.
What are we talking about? The truck? Or are we talking about the
I've lost track of something.
Ben's on the bottom bunk.
Truckers will let us know in the comments. A very quick flashback to earlier in the episode.
Ooh.
I asked AI to render me an F8 Tributo with only two rear lights. Now, this is one for the visual viewers, but I'll put it up on the screen.
Okay. Does that actually look...
Do you know what, Ben? I thought I was doing this as a ha-ha, told you, got you. It's actually kind of good. Here it is.
That's so Ooh. Much better.
That's kind of cool.
I will say that is better.
It is. So what it is an F8 Tributo with its inner rear lights removed, so it's more 4.58. I think I'm still on board with just the normal one, but you know what this is crying out for? 15, 20 years' time, when the prices have got cheap on the F8s, there's going to be... And what we've done is we've taken the F8, the design, the technology of the new car, and we've resto-modded it, made it look like that iconic, that timeless 458 that we all know and love. The prices on them have gone to the moon, but the turbocharged F8 you can pick up for a pittance.
I would, yeah.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm an enjoyer of that.
It's got Lotus and Mira vibe, so from the rear quarter.
It is interesting. Now, it is. I've chucked it through AI, so it might be... They might have changed all the proportions on stuff. But you know what? I think it's kind of cool.
That's really... That's nice.
Expecting to have a gotcha moment.
Yeah, I will, for you, buddy.
I will... For the audio listeners, we will send that, and it will be an overlay. It's a F8. Here we go.
With two less lights.
That's quite... Yeah, no, yeah. By definition.
If you can't bother to watch. Edwin, you put in here, all good wheels are aftermarket.
We, people on the slide, went last week, I don't know if we talked about this, to DK Engineering. Very, very cool, actually. It's something that should have brought back a little bit of a rule to my ruin.
Mm.
Will, not me actually, got invited to...
No, we both got invited.
Did
I
we?
Think? I don't know.
I thought it was to you and then you got
the message. Plus one. I added, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
You was plus one.
I was also plus one.
Did offer it to Ben and he said no.
No, no.
No, don't even.
No,
but carry on with your story.
I came into work and they said, we're going to
cut his mic off. So what happened was Will got invited. He offered it to both of us. I said yes. Ben did not. Brackets. He wasn't being paid, so that's why he didn't come. So I.
It was 35 degrees. I was wearing jogger shorts and merch, and you said, "Do you want to come to DK Engineering in your sweaty state?" And I was like, "No, I can't."
I said it exactly like that too.
If you told me, like, you know, with any kind of warning, I could have bought a nice linen shirt to wear.
Well,
I now have
so
one. You know.
Will and I went to DK Engineering. The ride there was interesting. Revuelto and Tuscan. I regretted my life with the roof down, no AC, and 37 degree heat. But anyway, we went to DK. They had like a kind of a mini concourse type beat, and they had the doors open so we could look around. And we were, boy, were we looking around.
Oh, God. This is cool.
But we were looking at, what car was it? I can't remember now.
We were looking at a 288 GTO on a ramp.
Exactly. And they have speed line, like split rims. And I've realized that all cool wheels that are made from manufacturers that are on like OEM cars are because they go to aftermarket companies to make them.
Mm.
They go to a speed line, they go to an OZ, they go to a whoever. Now, granted, most wheels aren't actually made by the manufacturer. Mm. Like a Volkswagen wheel is probably not made by VW. They go to a wheel manufacturer like Ronal or someone or BBS back in the day and say, can you make this design? But a lot of times when they're developing like a race car or a cool or a rare car, they collaborate with that company and say, can you use your racing wheel technology to build us a wheel for this car? So for instance, the 288, if you look at a 328 wheel, it's just a cast normal wheel for cost and whatever. Whereas a 288 GTO has like a split rim race car wheel. But it's always, anytime they do a collab, it's cool.
Also, when they're allowed to brand it as an aftermarket wheel a bit more, where it's called a Speedline or it's called a BBS, rather than going full manufacturer, it always tends to be a little bit better. But yeah, you're right. There, a lot of wheels are. Was it the 46M3? The 19s that you always see there, right? They are a Fuchs wheel. I'm pretty sure.
Which one?
The 19-inch.
On
a 46M3, that is a Fuchs wheel. So Fuchs make that, but you would never know that.
No,
outside of anywhere else. And then there's so many things like that.
The CSL wheel.
I don't know how many wheels are actually just made by the manufacturer.
The CSL wheel, it's a BBS.
Yeah.
It's stamped on it, BBS wheel.
Yeah.
I can't remember the number. But they're all just cool. It's whenever they go, you make something, just make us something.
Also, Speedline.
Speedline
Speedline out there. On that shit.
I, you know what? Speedline, OZ, BBS. Mm. Those are the three big European guys I'm a big fan of. Anytime you're doing a split rim in an OEM car, you're probably doing it right. It's nice. Yeah.
Even exhaust, actually. I remember hearing that years back when we worked at Car Throttle, we used to do lots of videos about like factories and how they make stuff and that kind of thing. And there's a few, can't actually say the brands because we weren't even meant to say then. But there are brands who make well-known exhaust manufacturers, and they make exhausts for Bentley and whoever else, but they never say that that's who it was. It's not stamped on any of the exhausts. They're just the people who make it. So they do a lot. There's a lot of outsourcing from these companies, which makes sense.
But
if you made anything in the house, it would take a long time.
Shout out aftermarket wheels. Got to be my favorite thing in the world.
Ben, news. I expect you to come prepared with this one.
Here
you
comes,
have told us
out
here.
Comes the phone from
and
the pocket.
And it is strong. Polestar banned in the US.
Don't just say that again. Don't repeat it.
Indeed. Polestar have been banned in the US.
Right. Bloody hell, I wasn't expecting that.
So, essentially, it comes down to two things.
They've been banned.
They've been banned and the location is the US.
Okay, cool.
No, they don't sell very many cars in the US.
Right.
Okay.
So, do they sell many cars in Europe?
I don't... Yeah, I think they do sell quite a few. You see them everywhere.
Hard-hitting facts from Ben. Yeah, probably.
Basically, the US... Hang on, I have it here.
Have banned Polestar.
God save.
The US
different ways to word the same story.
The Department of Commerce has revoked their authorization to sell under the US connected vehicle law.
Okay.
They don't sell very many cars at one point. The main thing, though, is that it's to do with the US banning cars made in China or associated with China or Russia.
Right.
And it's obviously Polestar is owned by Geely, who also owns Volvo, and they share some design DNA, and that's a Chinese company. So they're banned because of that. The interesting thing is that, as far as I'm aware, the Polestar 3 is built in America.
Interesting.
So they're going to build them in the US, but then ship them out of the US because they can't sell them in the US anymore. So it's from next year.
That's like our GR Corollas then. That's a taste of their medicine.
And built here?
Built in, right? They're built.
Built here in the UK.
In not Swindon now. It's, can't remember. Someone commented it before, but they're built in the UK.
Oh, really?
And then they go off to America and we can't have them.
So that's, yeah. So then we're going to get a Polestar
banned.
Yeah.
Banned.
Well, as in you can't sell them.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Banned.
Yeah.
Prison.
Prison.
Dead. Prison for the
German
Polestars.
German prison.
Yeah. Polestars will now be in an American prison.
Yeah. So I thought that's quite interesting that they've
been
gone.
Banned in America.
God. Banned. I might just stop doing it.
God, I think you should keep it up, Ben. I don't think we've missed much.
Entertainment?
We would know exactly the same amount.
We'd lose entertainment. And what are people going to do that get their news from here?
Normal news is boring.
Yeah.
So you might as well spice it up a bit by doing it 3 weeks too late and a little bit wrong.
cream.
Put on a t-shirt.
Cream motto.
Revuelto J Prix is the next thing I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
So I had the Revuelto since last Thursday. It is now Monday. Handed it back this morning. So over the weekend I used it. And now it was silver, that car. So it's relatively subtle in terms of color, but it is a Revuelto, so it sticks out like more than a sore thumb, like quite a painful sore thumb actually. So it gets quite a lot of attention, and I managed to host a somewhat impromptu car meet at the weekend. So I pulled, there's a little lay-by I know near me where I might pull over to take some pictures or whatever. It's normally empty, and it was empty, so I pulled in. Lovely day. I pulled in, and then a Mercedes pulled in. It drove past me, actually, and then turned around and came back. And it was a mum and her son, and they pulled up. And I'm like, can I take a picture of the car? I was like, yeah. I let him sit in it, and he revved it. It was actually really nice. And then two more cars pulled up. And I thought, Maybe they just pulled up to stand there or to do whatever, to sit in a lay-by. No, they all got out of their cars and perhaps another five or six people walked over and were like, can we take a picture of the car? Can I sit in it? And then at this, I had a queue of people saying, can I sit in it? Can I rev it? And they're all taking pictures of each other. I was like, now, I'm all for sharing this car. And actually, one of the things I wanted to do over the weekend and since having it is share it with absolutely everyone. Because no one ever gets a chance to see these cars or sit in them or experience them or even just see them out on the road. So as many people as can see it as possible. But I was stretching that slightly too far by I thought, do I start a stand? Do I need to get a sandwich board?
Do you charge for this?
What goes on? But it was quite cool, to be fair, because again, all of these people really have to see it. And then I was just about to leave and then another car pulled up. I was like, do you mind if I take a picture with my son? Turns out there was like a car show 10 minutes down the road. So lots of people were returning from that, saw the Rivolta and was like,
little bonus.
Well, it's like Monterey Car Week, but you know, Buckinghamshire. And then another one I wanted to talk about, actually, there is a creamer near me who works in a restaurant, an Italian restaurant, which is quite lovely, actually. And I've met him a couple of times and he was very, very professional the first time I met him, where he didn't say anything at all. He was very, very professional, very, very good at his job. And then right at the end, when I was paying the bill, he said, congratulations on the Lamborghini, by the way. Because I had no idea that he
very cool.
That. So every time I've gone back there, I've chatted to him. And the last time I went in there over the weekend and I had the Rivolta and I said, I have the Rivolta, do you want to see it? And I showed him it outside and he sat in it and everything. And I thought, it was like 8 o'clock, I think. And by the time I left, it was like 8:45. I said to him when I left, I was like, you know what? Again, I want people to experience this. I was like, when do you finish? He's like, 11. I was like, okay, it's a little bit late. But it's fine. So I went home and I came back and I took him out in it. And it was just great. Because he listened to the podcast. His name's Lewis. So if you're listening.
Shout out Lewis.
Shout out Lewis.
Cream of the week.
Creamer of the week.
Not a creamer of the week, but he was very, very happy. Has a Volvo Polestar, I think, possibly.
We can't take it to the America.
Do not go to America.
That's illegal.
You can be put in German prison.
But my girlfriend encouraged me because I was like, should I go back? Should I do that? Is that weird to do that? She's like, yeah. Now, should take him out in it.
Now, out of interest, what did your girlfriend think of it?
She really hated that. She loved the way, like, she thought, you know, it looks kind of cool, but cars on like that are completely lost. And the acceleration, not a fan of that at all. My granddad loved it.
No.
My girlfriend, not so much.
Funnily enough, on Friday when you had the car, there was a meeting of everyone seemed to turn up to drop things off and pick things up. So firstly, my girlfriend arrived and quite famously, I sent her out in your GTR with you when you had it, which was how 700?
That was 750.
750 horsepower. Mm. I was expecting her to be like, what the hell? She got out and she went, it wasn't that fast. And I berated. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. You'll never go in anything that fast in your life. She's like, nah. So when she got here, I was like, you got to go out in that car.
Yeah.
Because I need you to be scared of some sort of car. And when she came back, she went, no, that's too fast.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And I said, did you actually like enjoy it? She went, I closed my eyes. It was too fast. I closed my eyes.
And so I did. We did. I think everyone got a launch control.
Everyone.
Yeah, I'm very sorry to
also,
that.
Also, I didn't. Because remember, it didn't work.
It said thrust mode not possible. Just for Edwin. So that's a shame.
I can't believe it.
But I mean, the launch control in that car is unbelievable. But yeah, the amount of launches, I don't know, maybe there's something in the small print I should have looked at that said, please do not do that. But also, just big thank you to Lamborghini.
For legal reasons, we didn't launch control.
It wasn't. It was just from a dig. It was a roll.
It's a 30-year-old.
Rolled into it.
30-year-old in a 30.
But yeah, that was very cool. So video you'll see on that. But yeah, we didn't film everyone's reaction, but Trevor went out in it.
Now that's funny.
Took Trevor out in it and he played it cool.
Yeah.
He played it pretty cool. We've seen the footage. He was like, it's fun. But he was, I didn't think he'd like it. The fastest car he said he'd been in was a Tuscan race car.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's a fast car, but oh boy, you're about to feel this. Because some of the people I've taken out, like they've been in and around cars, so they've been in fast stuff.
Yeah.
So even if you've been in a GTR or something, the Golf is smaller, but if you've never been in a car like that, it's mind altering.
Also, shout out Lamborghini Press for trusting us with it. But also, any other press companies you'll see from this, our aim is to genuinely share it with as many people as possible.
Because that's Denza.
If we... Oh, interesting. We will share the money with ourselves, is what we'll do with Denza.
We'll share the money with ourselves and the experiences with you guys.
And Daniel Craig, he will share colleagues in us.
Yeah. We can't do the journalist thing where we go, isn't this just the finest automobile turning? I can feel the toe in the front end.
I do feel the rear end bite on the Aventador was a little bit better, but the Rivolta really makes up with it with 1,000 horsepower.
But we can
Meanwhile,
what we can do is take 15 people out and do launch control. Okay.
Do you want to do launch control?
Now to end, we've got
a tough update.
We have news. A news that's it's fresh.
Can I tell it?
Now, please you tell it, and I'd just like you to read the first email that you received and then the subsequent email.
Okay, so we are going to Monterey Car Week.
Everyone has gone.
And they've all turned off the podcast.
Shut up.
The Quail.
Of course.
It's been a topic of conversation. If you don't know what the Quail is, it is the event at Monterey. They announce big cars, Koenigseggs, all these things.
Only big
these
cars.
Guys have always wanted to go since they went to Monterey for the first time years ago. And we've been trying our best to ask anyone we know to get tickets.
Very exclusive, costs thousands to get a ticket.
So we all applied for media. Now, famously in the podcast, these two didn't hear back, but I, for some reason, got given a media pass.
Sorry, I heard back, but was asked to provide proof.
Oh, yeah. Apologies.
Whereas Ben was just accepted. Yeah. Just said, you're in.
Yeah.
Ben sent a picture of his balance.
And they went, how many cars are you buying?
Went, cool, potential customer. All right, let you in.
Are you flying in?
We had an email, and I'm going to tell you the time of this because it was a toughie.
So basically, after that podcast, Will sent an email with a letter saying, I'm with Benjamin Rogers for this sorry.
Oh,
I was about to say company.
Okay.
But that works too. No, and then I sent an application saying, I'm with these two guys. Yeah. So we're all together. Mm. Let's just
So they've received three applications from three people that work for Top Dead Center as a thing. So this email was about 6 o'clock on Friday night. So, you know, they should be at the office. But I remember,
were you on the sofa? Could we get some more context?
I was actually sat in the little office over there importing footage. You guys were outside just socializing with people that were here.
Okay, lovely.
Like just mingling.
Well, you were driving around that McGee Revoir. Yeah,
it's got me salivating.
It was during when Will took your girlfriend out in Gibraltar. Yeah. So from this lady that we've never spoken to before. Hello. We appreciate your interest in attending the Quail by the Peninsula, a motorsports gathering. We receive a high number of...
Already a bad start. When you hear that?
Yeah. I was like, that's odd, because I've been approved, so why are you emailing me? We receive a high volume of media credential applications and have limited availability. I was like, no. I thought they were going to withdraw it for something.
Redact.
As a result, we can only offer Top Dead Center two media credentials.
Oh, no.
Please confirm which applicants you would like the credentials to be approved for. We received applications for Mr. Klinkenberg Evans, Mr. Chandler, and Mr. Rogers. Please let us know if you have any questions. I do. What and why? So
and
I responded.
When will we get our three invites?
So basically, I then said to these guys, listen, there's absolutely no reason for me to go. You are literally the face of the channel. Why would I be there?
Yeah, so but
I
was we're like, not the money of the channel. So
well, but listen,
we don't have the spending.
I was like, I'd love to go, but I'll fall on my sword so you guys can go. Bearing in mind the fact that on that day, I can't drive the car that we're renting.
Nope.
I can't get anywhere and I'll be on my own.
Yeah.
I can't even do my job, which is filming. So great.
So you'll be walking around.
I'm just going to.
You'll be on foot, loose in Monterey.
We get Peter to come and pick you up.
Why don't we drop you at the golf course?
Trender.
No.
Oh, Peter from America. Sorry, apologies.
How dare you forget Peter?
No, I don't forget Peter. Whenever you.
Trender.
That's what I was confused. He'd be at the Nürburgring, wouldn't he? Obviously.
Of course, why not?
He's got to check on the gardeners.
Investment. So the issue here is what Will and I said, we don't want to do the Quail without Ben.
Yeah, but you should.
No, but that's... Well,
I would, though. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. I would do it. Like, if push became nudge.
Edwin said to me genuinely, listen, I actually don't want to do it without you, like, blah, blah, blah. And Will just was like, yeah, man.
Fantastic. Ben's having a fantastic day at Chuck E. Cheese. Let's drop him off, folks.
I'm getting Blake Sandberg to come pick me up.
So, yeah, so I you know what? I have a conspiracy.
Ooh.
That the person involved with that email is a creamer.
Ooh.
And she wants the content.
Yeah.
She's thinking, right.
Drama alert.
This'll be funny on the podcast.
Yeah.
Cause no way you say only two of three.
Come on.
It's two
perfect. What's one person.
After we've just explained that there's only one of us is getting in, now just two are getting in. It's too perfect.
Yeah.
She has to be she's in on it. She has to be in on it.
So obviously it's you guys. Right. It makes sense, but also I couldn't take that from you. It's been years of you wanting to go. So
thanks, man. Yeah, I'll accept.
No,
hey, man, I'll accept. Don't worry about
it. Hey, man, who got the email?
My other thought.
I could say. But
my other thought is that we instead get two random people off the street and send them in on our behalf wearing secret, video gear to capture. And we only show what they capture.
Because if only us go in, now we're there under media. but how do we film?
Well, that was kind
if
of
our videographer's not there.
That was kind of a genuine thing.
Did you make a case to them?
Would you like me to read the email back?
Yes, if
because
you could.
I basically begged them.
You were very professional. How much of it was ChatGPT?
Spelling.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to mess it up, but the actual email is me. Hi, I'll write
my name. Send.
Oh, my name. Thanks for getting back to us. Will and Edwin can attend using the two media credentials that you've offered.
Well, see,
however,
put us forward. Done.
However,
thanks, man.
There's a however. If there is any possibility of a third credential, we would really appreciate your consideration.
Oh,
the
lovely.
Quail is what we believe to be the pinnacle event of Monterey Car Week.
Lovely.
And we are hoping to make it a
butter.
Key part.
There's the butter.
A key part of our YouTube coverage. Our aim is to capture both the event itself and Will/Edwin's experience throughout the day, as attending the Quail has been something they've wanted to do for a very long
Will
time.
Will/Edwin.
Yeah.
Or Edwin. I guess, and I missed. See?
Yeah,
that's why I should have spelled
it. Either or.
Did you mention that you are a videographer?
Just
no, all right, sorry,
time.
Carry on.
No, I didn't realize this one had
chapters.
Hold on. It didn't originally. I had to tell Ben to put that in.
No, you told me to take something out.
Yeah. But no. It was you saying quite vaguely that you weren't the videographer.
No, I said I was. I angled it more. No,
I would just like to go.
I angled it as producer, and then you said if it's something to do with if it's a videographer, they're more likely to let you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I said,
script writer.
I would be attending as their videographer and producer. Without myself in attendance, the quality and scope of what we're able to produce would be reduced compared to the standard we typically aim to deliver.
Meanwhile, them going on the channel and watching us drive a ninky-nonk under the roundabouts in Racknell.
Best regards, Benjamin Rogers, head of production.
Oh, lovely.
Then going back to the podcast where we described how we were getting to the Quail. And it would be with a very long jacket with all of us on each other's shoulders.
Three men in a trench coat or dressing up as Christian von Koenigsegg.
And do you want to know what she said back?
She's replied.
No. She has probably looked at that and gone, I don't care. I'll just approve this.
No, I think that sounded professional.
Yeah.
It sounded unlike Ben, anything you've ever said ever.
Ben, it's only Monday and right now in California, it's probably like 3 PM. So there's still time.
So she only has 6 hours.
Yeah.
Did you send it 2 days ago, though?
I sent it on Friday, so she should be first thing in the morning.
Also, in the weekend.
Also, I sent it at 6
things
o'clock.
Things are busy.
I sent it at 6 o'clock in the evening. Our time is 10 a.m.
She probably has early Fridays off, you know.
Probably. I know it's Monday and you've got to do catch-up. So
exactly.
Like Tuesday, ideally.
Midweek.
So the saga continues.
By the Nürburgring. At the Nürburgring, we will get confirmation. That's my prediction.
And you know what?
Why are you such a gambler?
I bet.
No, I don't want. No, why am I? This is a positive thing for all of us.
Make the bet correct for Cream, please.
By the sunset on Friday at the Nürburgring.
Okay. By the sunset of the German Eve.
Yeah. About 9 o'clock.
Barbarians dawn, please. I think we will all be going. Or we won't. And me and Edwin will go.
I think there's going to be a twist again. I think there'll be 4 tickets and we'll have to bring someone else.
I suggested to Ben that if Ben cannot come under us. With us, under our umbrella, top dead center.
Yeah,
good stuff. We will send you with someone else.
Yeah.
If someone else we know is going to the Quail and there's only one of them, and they're already saying, well, we can only give you 2, let us send Ben of Evo Magazine or Top Gear.
Or Smith and the Snacks.
Brackets,
same issue.
Still too. The thing is that the only thing I'm holding out is that maybe they shouldn't have enough context. Because if we all applied being like, we're part of this, she might be like, well...
Ben, hold on. Hold the phone.
Like, I'm not a presenter or anything.
Hold on.
But hang on. I did also fill out an entire piece, like, form that said who I was and what my role was and why we'd be there.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
What if, instead of going there for Top Dead Center, Benjamin Rogers, a different Benjamin Rogers, was going for the Cream podcast, the most... listen to automotive podcast in the UK.
In the world. That's a lie.
Probably up there somewhere.
But you couldn't. They can't prove it.
I would like to not draw them in the direction of the podcast, considering the talks about dressing up as Christian Von Koenigsegg.
That's episode true. 81, minute 32.
Find that.
Exactly. Which is exactly where we talked about Christian Von Koenigsegg.
That's what would rule out
us going. I don't think we should draw it. Also, if I do that like this week, they'll go, they'll probably get to it next week when this goes out, and then they'll see this entire conversation with the plan.
And go, all right, they're in the mainframe.
But that would imply they've listened to the entire podcast, which would be fantastic retention.
Right at the end. So basically, we have just over a week to get approved before they might figure it out.
So, you know what, Ben, if you want to take the PJ over and just sort it out, that would be great.
I'm going to go to In-N-Out Burger.
Okay, perfect.
Have a lettuce,
I think there's plenty for you to do. We're happy to go.
Can you if we do it, can you choose where, like, what I do for the day?
Sure. We'll give you an itinerary.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, cool.
You will give us things that we need to get while in the Quail, because mm-hmm. things that you want to see or to see done.
Yeah,
want a t-shirt.
We'll be doing, like, we'll be caviar, we'll be, you know, speaking to Christian.
Sunbathing.
Can you give me a t-shirt, please?
Sunbathing, not that kind of event, but sure. We can get a t-shirt.
I'll pay for it. Can you just get it for me?
Of course you will.
Well, no, I'm not saying, can you buy me a t-shirt? I'm saying, whatever.
We bought three t-shirts, bloody hell.
We will update you with our progress on the Quail, as always. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Episode 90, 10 away from the big centennial. Cream.
Double digits.
Cream it and cream it.
Let me in.
The three wise men who went to the Quail.
Brackets, two of us.